you want to ask me questions, or do you just want me to sort of give you the feedback?
Had you heard anything about the restaurant prehand?
Well, yeah, before the thing took place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots, because I line managed the two faculties that helped produce it. So, yeah, I knew quite a bit about what was planned, both from the sort of drama side, the performance side, and from the visual media arts side. But obviously I didn't know what to expect, so I hadn't seen any rehearsals. Yeah. I'd seen the space, so I'd seen what you'd done with the screens, and I knew that you'd contravened all the health... No, I didn't. No, I knew all about the cable tying, the projectors, and the how difficult it was going to be from a sound point of view, having it all fed, all those different feeds coming through the same desk. So I'd spoken to Mr. Murray a little bit about that. And so I sort of had a sense of what to expect, but wasn't really prepared for the thing when it happened. So it was still quite a surprise, even though I knew a lot about it.
Okay, yeah, the aim of the whole play, kind of, because we're focusing more on, like, symbolism.
Right,
and
okay.
Abstract.
Yeah.
And, like, the idea was to make the audience, like, surprised and jump and not to know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
So did you feel that way when everything was going on?
Yeah. No, yeah, I did.
Like,
yeah.
From the beginning, from the tunnel to the end of the show.
Yeah, what I liked about it was that I'm really interested in works of art that involve more than one sense. And I don't know, have you done much about synesthesia? Do you know about synesthesia? But lots of examples in the arts of artists who, for instance, music and images is a common one that people sometimes are able to kind of relate quite closely. So they might actually see sound as a particular colour. They might, you know, so a particular noise, a particular note might have a particular colour attached to it, or an image might actually have a sound attached to it. They might hear the note of a particular... So that's really interesting to me. And what I really like are the kinds of artistic experiences where those things are exploited. And it seemed to me that this restaurant project had the potential to do that, so that you might actually be assaulted by lots of different sensory impressions. So there were things to taste, there were things to see, there was movement, you know, there was music, there were visuals to look at, and that you had to... Really, your brain was being really stimulated with lots of these different messages, and you having to kind of make sense of those and be continually surprised by new ones. I thought that was really exciting. So I definitely got that, and I loved the fact that it was lots of different experiences sort of collaged together. I thought that was really nice.
What were your first impressions once you walked through the tunnel?
Oh, right, okay. Well, the tunnel itself was quite an unusual experience because it physically... I'm quite tall, so, I mean, I was almost on my hands and knees going through there.
Yeah, that was the whole point, trying to make it feel like
exactly.
You're being, you're being, like, squashed, but not really, if not, we're planning to make it smaller.
Yeah.
We thought about how about the really, really tall people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just make it that height. So, basically, the idea was, like, you first come in and you get smaller, so you become a bit more, like, some people get scared on the small spaces, so that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And then come out.
It was like being born in reverse. And I quite like that. I mean, a lot of fairy tales have that experience of going into a dark
Alice
space from and stories like Alice in Wonderland. And so that physical being made to feel slightly uncomfortable and having to squeeze yourself through a very dark space, I thought that really worked. And then all those crazy surreal toys.
Yeah.
And people were getting poked in the eye by things, and they were kind of like, you know, sort of really physically almost assaulted by that, which was quite nice and very confused. People look very disconcerted, which I'm presuming is the intention.
Yeah.
And then, of course, having to meet someone straight away so that then you become in role. You're not just
a
passive member of the audience.
Because it was meant to be a play.
Yeah.
But then we got the idea from, like, the Third Angel website.
Right.
You know how when you get, they make you part of the performance.
Yeah.
So it's like basically like what we did. So you're more confused. So from the beginning to the end of it, you're in character.
Yeah.
So that makes you more confused and makes you feel more uncomfortable. That was the idea of the whole play.
I didn't feel uncomfortable. I felt stimulated. It's a sort of a difference because I suppose because I knew that it was going to be like this.
It's like for like the parents that never knew.
But I definitely did
it.
See other people looking distinctly more uncomfortable than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I don't know, were you trying to make people feel uncomfortable?
No, not uncomfortable, but just be aware of the fact that it's like not, it's basically in a new place, and it's like things get basically confused.
Yeah.
Not like uncomfortable.
So disorientated.
Like, yeah, like just feel a bit awkward because you're there.
When you feel awkward, what's happening in your brain?
It's like, do I smile? Do I just carry on?
So is your brain working harder when you're more uncomfortable?
Yeah,
when you're out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, because it's like basically like then I'll be thinking, do I pretend to know what's going on, or do I just it was lovely because like
you having to think about everything you do, aren't you? More consciously.
That was the whole point. Basically.
That was good. Well, I definitely did feel engaged by the whole business of, because as soon as I was spoken to in role by the maitre d', I felt like I was in a restaurant. I didn't feel like I was at a play. Mm. So I felt like I was actually in a restaurant because I was sat at a table and I had a menu, and we were treated like, you know, customers. Yes. And not guests, customers. I felt like a customer. I felt like I was going to order a meal, and you know, I felt part of that performance. And I think that was enhanced by having the video feed, the live video feed at the end wall. Mm-hmm. So I caught a glance of myself coming into the space. So it's kind of, I could see myself performing. Do you know what I mean? That was quite disconcerting as well. Mm-hmm. To look up and see yourself in the space where you actually are live. I thought that was very clever. That was one of my favourite bits, actually. And lots of people walked in and then suddenly noticed them. A bit like going to a football match and suddenly seeing yourself in the action replay. It was a bit like that. Mm-hmm. So that was good. I like that very much. Oh, right. Yeah, I'm glad you asked me about that. That was my second favourite thing. So although I thought the chef itself was a rather strange character, I mean, the way it was drawn, it didn't really make sense to me until the faces started to appear in the projection. And then I thought, I don't know whether you know, have you come across Tony Ousler's
projections? He was our main focus.
Okay, so it reminded me very much of several things I've seen of his. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I couldn't stop looking at it. I thought it was fantastic. And I liked the fact that you didn't stick with just human faces, that you had masks and skulls and skeletons and slightly scary Halloween-y kind of things as well. So again, I like that, and I thought I want to find out how you did that, because I'd like to do that in photography. So you can maybe teach me how to do that. It's very clever. Presumably, you had to use some kind of a mask.
We used Final Cut Pro.
Oh, okay.
Basically, we found it will be recorded footage of our faces.
Yeah.
And then we found an image of another face or whatever from the internet, and then we used Final Cut, and then we had the footage.
Right, yeah. But how did you stop the image bleeding across the rest of the... How did you keep it located just on the space where the head was for the chef?
Sir did that. They had to mask it off.
Oh, okay.
So that would fit that exactly.
If that's
resizing. It's technically quite complex to achieve, but it's really effective.
Because
we did
a lot of like practicing before we did the real thing. We even have some of it in our computers, so we had to like experiment
on
fading in and out pictures and making sure they fit to the faces. So it was quite complex.
Yeah. It was really worth all the time and effort. I thought it was great. And it made sense of that chef figure, definitely. So I was... I don't know whether it was deliberate that one of the actors, Manuel, I think it was, came and rearranged my clothes. But, I mean, I think that sort of thing helped engage people in the performance as well, you know, when they're sort of physically manipulated, if you like. Mm-hmm. I was surprised they didn't do more of that, actually, to be honest with you, because I would have probably wanted to get in amongst the audience a little bit more physically and sit on their laps and that sort of thing. But I'm glad in a way they didn't, I suppose. But
I don't know. You did have a dead waiter hanging onto your leg.
There was a shootout quite near where I was sitting as well. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I thought the sound effects were great. I mean, the lightning was really, really effective when the witches came in. And I liked what you'd done with the treatment of the film with Mr. Kelly and Miss Barton, the brief encounter sequence. And that definitely looked and sounded like an old movie, which was really effective. The only thing I'd say that's slightly critical I suppose it's quite helpful to have some slightly critical things,
isn't it?
Really.
Yeah.
Is that I thought some of the projections are a bit too literal. So I noticed when, I think in the first scene when there were menus being read out, there were different things on the menu, you know, so when the word sprouts appeared, there was a picture of sprouts, and it, you know, it was just kind of a bit too sort of obvious, really. I mean, it did work, but it would have been, I don't know, it would have been nice maybe to have something appear that was nothing to do with, you know, it wasn't a translation of the words, was more of an interpretation of the words, but... That's just being nitpicky. I thought it was basically fine. I liked the fact that the screens were completely wrapped around you, so you did feel very enclosed by all this stuff, and I was constantly having to do this. I don't know whether the fact that sometimes it was out of sync was deliberate. I assumed it wasn't deliberate, but actually it worked quite well.
Yeah, I was going to say about that. I think it worked quite well because your head would fix on that, and after that, saying a different thing. So it makes you, to me, I like that a lot, even though it wasn't intentional, but I think it really worked.
It was almost like being in a replay of your own life. It was kind of really, really disconcerting. It was kind of really, it played with your expectations quite a bit. So you'd see it happening. I think it was in sync at this end,
right
underneath the gantry where the main two, where the lighting deck and it was always in sync there. And I think it was in sync to the right of that. Behind me, this way, and behind me that way, it was slightly out. Only a tiny bit, like a few seconds. Or maybe even not a second. But it was really interesting to hear the words and to look up there and to see the mouths working at the same time and then to look up here and for it to be slightly out. And it was kind of... It was quite a bit like a dream. A bit like that's sometimes what happens to me in dreams. And when you get that sense of déjà vu, you know, when you think you've been somewhere before, that your brain does plays that trick on you, doesn't it? So
because of the... couple of times where we had to use sound, we all had to take our cue from the projector that was by the sound desk, which meant that Mr. Wheeler and his people, which were Mouters, wasn't it, over the other side, they were the cue, if you like, and as soon as they kind of moved, and although we had the cue thing, we moved. Because the sound was connected to theirs, so it would have looked proper off all the way around when the sound came if we didn't use them as our cue. So.
I liked the fact that we were just ejected at the end as well. I liked that. It was really so that sense of being disorientated and disconcerted was consistent right the way through. You didn't know what the hell was coming up next.
I never knew that was going to happen. I never knew it was going to take to get out. But then that was so funny. I couldn't help but laugh.
I know.
we were sniggering upstairs and trying not.
People looked really offended. They looked like, oh.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? Not being allowed to clap, which is how you show your appreciation at the end of a performance. Was obviously very disturbing for a lot of the people that were there.
I think if I could watch that, I would have enjoyed it because then you can talk about it more. Like you want to ask more questions. It makes you wonder more. Then if you know that it was all just a play, it was nothing. But then that it made them feel like it wasn't really a play. It was more like real. So I just got caught up in the middle of it. And then it was different scenes with different stories and theatre performance coming together. So I think that was a great way to finish a play.
It was a bit like crawling inside the television, but with a channel changer.
Yeah, that's it.
It was a bit like being in a mediated environment, but that you somebody had got hold of the, you know, was flicking between different channels. That's what it felt like. So you're almost like inside the television. You know, there's some of the, there are films, aren't there, occasionally.
Yeah. Is it Cable Guy or what's the one?
People get sucked into televisions all the time. Poltergeist, they get sucked into a television, don't they? But that's what it felt like. It felt like you'd stepped inside someone's head as they were watching television or actually were inside the television, but you had no control over what you were watching. Quite like that.
How did you feel about the concept of having the audience among the actors?
Oh, I thought it was great. That's the only way of doing it, really. I mean, I think the only thing I wasn't sure about. And we took a view that we were in a restaurant, myself and this colleague. So we talked all the way through it. We actually just discussed what was going on as if we were in a restaurant. But everyone else seemed to be too polite to do that. And I thought it would have been better if somehow the audience had been made to feel like they were actually in a restaurant so that they could just behave as if they were in a restaurant and then just be surrounded by all these things.
But then it's a bit weird to convince them. Because, like, if my parents came to watch that,
yeah.
they're expecting me to be, like, a performance,
mm.
not to be in amongst them. So I think it's weird to convince them, because they'll still be quite surprised and mm. wondering what's going on. So I don't think we're able to convince them completely.
Depends mm. how many times that sort of thing they get exposed to in school. Mm. I mean, that's only a convention, because that's normally when we put on a performance, we have the audience and the actors separate. And we don't really break the fourth wall very often, do we? Not even in those Brechtian things they do. Mm. They're not that invasive, you know, they're not that offensive or disturbing. Whereas in the professional context, when you go and see drama now or theatre, you know, half the time you're involved in some kind of weird, unusual, unconventional kind of experience. You know, there's so much site-specific stuff being done now.
They looked at Forced Entertainment and Bird right. Angel right. and Punch Drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
As inspiration yeah, before yeah. before they.
So the more we do of that in school, the more we do that in school, it's almost about training the audience to expect different things or to not expect something specific. Mm. To come with more of an open mind and then.
And we trailblazing. We spoke to the parents and the guests before mm-hmm. they went in. And said to them, please feel free to interact mm. with the performers mm. in role
oh, okay.
during the that. Performance. And one of our deputy heads said to me the following day, well, it wasn't very interactive, was it? So I said, what do you mean? So he said, well, not many of the guests or the parents interacted with the performers. And I reminded him about the man who waved at his wife and said, I don't know why we can't sit together, it's our anniversary mm. and what have you, because they had to be, remember when mm. Amy was mm-hmm. seating people mm-hmm. and he had to sit by the piano? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw him on the video earlier oh, yeah. and he was waving, wasn't it, his wife? And later on in the performance, he called Amy over and asked if he could be moved because the performer that was sitting on the table his wife was on had got up and gone after doing their bit. And he went and sat with his wife and moved. So he'd interacted.
Mm.
And this deputy head said, during the Basil 40 sequence of 40 Towers, he said, I really, really wanted to shout, Mr. 40, Mr. 40, there's a mouse under my table, which is apparently where that sequence mm. that the drama people had used, apparently that continues with someone else in the restaurant finding a mouse under their table, a dead mouse. And he said, you know, I was going to yell, blah, 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 there's a dead mouse under my table. And I said to him, well, why didn't you, sir? And he said, well, I...
Too shy.
Well, I don't know, really. He said, but I wish I had now. And it was like, but it... So there obviously is something kind of quite, you know, quite kind of unsaid and unagreed or unvoiced about going to a performance and you agreeing, all of us, without even realising that we will sit there and be quiet and have things happen in front of us and that we won't interrupt. And I think it's really interesting how people are really, really conditioned like that, even when they're invited to join in. Only one person kind of did.
It's partly a sort of British reserve thing, I think. But it hasn't always been the case. I mean, in Shakespeare's day, the theatre was riotous. You know, the audience would throw things at the actors if they didn't like what they saw and shout abuse at them, and there would be people trying to sell stuff in the audience, you know, not always edible stuff as well. You know, it's just, you know, it's the tradition of theatre is always changing, so you can play your part in re-educating the audience, can't you, with more events like this. Was there anything that you felt didn't work that you think could be improved if you did it again?
Obviously.
Go on.
It was like folk and live, because yeah, I don't really think anyone see that.
Yeah.
Because it was white and
yeah.
it didn't really work, I think.
It had a bit of blood on the knife, didn't it?
Yeah, but still.
You couldn't really, it was a bit subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I feel that everything that we did do positive effect, and I don't, well, maybe taking the input, maybe we could have improved it, because there's always
mm-hmm.
room for improvement, but I thought that everything that we did do was to our best ability and mm. worked positively.
Great. I mean, it was such a complicated thing to pull off, especially with the scripts timing. Changing and the timing and the...
Because we only get 2 days a week.
Exactly, yeah. I thought what I loved about it was that it was really ambitious. So for me, even if it didn't work perfectly, it's part of a process of doing more ambitious things in this school, which is great. You know, but the fact that it was so ambitious and worked so well, you know, you should be really pleased with that. And it set a new standard, essentially. For I mean, the next one we do, you know, how are we gonna do anything better than that? You know, it's quite a daunting thing you've done, really, to sort of set the bar quite so high for the first time.
It's interesting. Laurie was saying that this morning, wasn't he? He kept saying lots how ambitious it was.
I was going to say, because this is almost the first kind of immediate interaction with the audience throughout the performance that we've done here at Town Square, through the time that I've been here.
Yeah.
And I felt that it worked really good, people feel more stimulated and they're more anxious to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe if it's something, even though they didn't know where the monologues were from, but they were still interested to know looking around to see what was happening next.
Yeah.
And then sometimes during performances, you get tired, you're like, oh, it's on that same place, and you just, it's not as stimulating, but when it's all around you and you might have to interact with it, you're always expecting unexpected.
So if you were to suggest another kind of event like that, how could it be even more ambitious than that? What else could you do?
I have an idea.
Go on.
I think we should have objects move from the ceiling this time.
Right.
And this time it should first start off in the dark.
Right.
Pitch black.
Okay.
Then they can find their way around. There's things, people talking to them, but they don't know who's talking to them.
So you think using the lighting?
Yeah, lightings. I think more. I don't think we use the lightings enough as we should have.
It's quite consistent, wasn't it, all the way through?
Yeah, because it's quite same colours, but it should change, different settings. It should have different colours to match the mood. So I think more of those colours are more unexpected things, things people flying from the ceiling. You would not expect that.
Mm.
So that...
Or people throwing stuff from the gantry.
Or people throwing things at you. It's you will not expect that. You kind of feel offended. It makes you want to go, hey, do you mind?
Yeah, okay.
So people are going to get, obviously, going to get involved more. So it'd be more like a riot.
Right.
Hopefully it wouldn't go crazy.
Okay.
Because my school, we don't do performances like this, because my school is a technology college.
Right,
I used to do is little plays.
Right.
So this has given me ideas to go to my school.
Right.
In case we want to do something, because I'm quite involved in drum side of my school.
Sure.
So I can say this, what I've learned and how we can do it.
That's great.
So it's really, I feel like I've actually achieved a lot in this term.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Go on.
I would say that maybe we could use more movement throughout the audience, maybe moving them to different locations, to different sets.
You mean not necessarily have it all in the same room?
Yeah, possibly, but I feel that there would be more interaction.
Uh-huh.
Because on the Third Angel website, they were talking about that they might have several different settings.
Yeah.
In different rooms for the audience free to walk about almost as a tour.
Yeah.
And I feel that would be able to boost their interaction.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the fact that there were problems, challenges, was more useful than if it had all gone really smoothly?
Definitely.
Yeah, because it makes you... Because this, it kind of pushed us to go behind and past our comfort zone. It's because normally makes it feel you're more grown up. Because normally, if you're when I was in year 7 or year 8, teachers would do everything for you. Yeah. You don't do anything at all. But this time makes you feel like you're the one in control now. So it's up to you now. So it makes you feel like I have to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was really good because it made us the pressure. It makes you feel because some people stay up till late to finish their work and to make sure that the book is perfect. Some people stay up till 3-4 in the morning. So that shows more ambition and more
dedication
and more power, willpower to want to go further in life. I think this is a great experience. I think everybody in the country should be able to have this great experience.
We'll take away something that they'll be able to use later on in life.
Yeah, because that should push on something, isn't it?
Just me and all the people in this class. There's only 3 from TALIS and then the rest are from other schools.
We're all different schools, different experience, different backgrounds.
Teamwork skills and just new friends. I say experience. It's a good experience for everybody because even if you might be uncomfortable at first, you get to know each other, you get to build a relationship with the teachers, and even though you might only be there for a term, you'll still know them from out of school activities. And then It's also like the dedication throughout the team, because like some people would arrive late to lessons sometimes, and I mean, even though they would stay up late during work, and then on the night of the performance, everybody was there on time, wanting to do what they had to do what they had to do. And I mean, you weren't there for the rehearsal. It was like only one rehearsal. However, we had like the cues on the bottom of the screen underneath the clip, and we had a teacher at each projector telling us in case we was out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it just showed like the dedication that we had, and the teachers as well, because they pushed us a lot.
Yeah, they pushed us a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, they made us, because like Miss Lemar, Miss Matthews, Mr. Kiff, Mr. Hodges,
Mike.
Mainly Miss Lemar and Mike, like they did a lot of, like they pushed us. Normally, I can't take that kind of pressure on me, but like also each other, because like some people are not in sometimes. Like I know I wasn't in for quite sometimes because I wasn't feeling well sometimes, so I was doing my thing. Then my friends, they would take over to make sure that we all together succeed, and that in a way it's because I never knew these people, so now you feel like some kind of connection. It's like, just work together. It's that, like, I really like that about the whole thing.
So you came back, your footage was there, ready for you to edit.
All I had to do was just edit it and everything. So that was great. Thank you to everybody. It was great. Perfect.